following paid program does not necessarily reflect the views or opinions of the staff and management of Tri-Scepter Productions or the Superhuman Channel. Tri-Scepter Productions and the Superhuman Channel are not responsible for any claims, warranties, or guarantees made during this program.
Prepare to experience the strongest radio allowable by law. Secrets will be revealed. Myths dispelled.
From the Studio Gym, where excuses never apply.
It's Superhuman Radio with your host, Carl Lenore.
We're hitting a big home run today. We're starting off Monday with a hugely important show. Hugely important show. During the first hour, we're going to have Pam Colleen and Dr. Jared Scowron on. We're going to be addressing parents who impose vegan lifestyles on their young children. Are they doing the right thing? Are they being responsible? Or are they derelict of their duties as parents? Later in the show, we're going to have Rob Wolf on, author of The Paleo Solution, to discuss a recent Wizard of Oz episode where Mehmet Oz looked at the prehistoric diet, as he called it, and we're going to be talking about whether or not he did any real great service to his audience by doing that show in the way he did it. But first, we're going to start out again talking with Pam Colleen. How you doing, Pam?
I'm great. Thanks, Carl.
Who is at a sustainable agriculture event and took the time to find a quiet place to be on the show today. Thank you so much for doing that.
Not a problem.
And, of course, a naturopathic doctor and a huge audience favorite now here at Superhuman Radio, Dr. Jared Scowron. How you doing, Jared?
Good, Carl. Thanks for having me on again.
Fantastic, fantastic. Okay. I hit you guys on Friday about this show, if I remember correctly. Maybe it was Thursday, but I'm pretty sure it was Friday. And it was a result of a discussion that we had on our Friday show, which is co-hosted by Elisa Profumo. Elisa told a story about how she went to the masseuse to get a massage, and this well-meaning massage therapist just quite ironically, she claimed she wanted to be quiet and rest, but this guy talked the whole time. But he was just extolling like a zealot the benefits of becoming a vegan, the way it's changed his life, and it's the way it's changed his family's life. And he went on to explain to Elisa that he has two young children, 2 years old and 5 years old, if I remember correctly, boys. And he told Elisa that he gives them 3 and 4 smoothies a day made with soy milk and soy yogurt and flaxseed oil. And these kids are getting only a vegan diet. And when I heard that, I became enraged, not because of whether or not this was a dangerous approach to go exclusively vegan, which I have the two of you on today to discuss. But anytime an extreme diet is imposed on a young child whose body is still forming, I think that this is cause for discussion. So I want to start out first to show that we're not all against the vegan diet. Let me rephrase that. That that there's someone on the panel that actually lived a vegan lifestyle who can talk intelligently about it to us. And Pam Colleen, Pam, you were a vegan for a period of your life, correct?
That's right. I was a vegan for 9 years. In fact, I was a raw food vegan. And one of the first instructors I had to teach me about veganism was Brian Clement. And from there, I actually went down to Ann Wigmore's center in Boston and did one of her 2-week courses. This was before she actually passed away, so this was back in the early 90s. And from there, I actually went to Optimum Health Institute in Lemon Grove, which is near San Diego, California. And I went there not just once, but twice. So I used to actually teach classes on juicing, on wheatgrass, on sprouts, and I used to extol the benefits of a vegan diet. And what happened with me was I had crashed with chronic fatigue, fibromyalgia, and multiple chemical sensitivities, and people that I was learning from had told me that if I became a vegan, that it would help me with my health. So I became a vegan thinking it would help me reverse my chronic fatigue, fibro, and so on. Anyway, you know, when I first became a vegan, yes, indeed, I did feel better. And this is one of the deceiving factors in a vegan diet, is that for many, many people, initially, they do feel better. And that's what keeps them drawn in. Another thing that keeps them drawn in, as was the case with myself, was that I kept hearing this mantra that, you know, that veganism was healthy and it was going to help me get well. And I didn't connect the dots in terms of the diet actually making my condition worse in the long run. So after about, you know, 9 years of being a vegan, it almost killed me, Carl, quite honestly. It almost killed me. And from that point, after I relinquished the diet, I decided to myself that I was just going to dive into studying nutrition and find out what on earth I did wrong and what is the right solution. And so, and that's when I found the work of Dr. Weston A. Price. But if I, you know, honestly, if I knew then what I know now, I would never have become a vegan. I knew nothing about nutrition throughout the 90s when I did this. And, you know, I regret it in a sense that I didn't really, really understand nutrition. Because I just hadn't spent the time. I mean, I had a wall full of books on vegetarian and veganism, and I thought I knew a lot about nutrition. But now, of course, in hindsight, I see that I knew very, very little about nutrition. And so right now, I guess what I'm trying to do, Carl, is right or wrong and teach people about the biochemical basis of good, healthy eating, not dogma, not belief systems, and not urban myth.
Okay, Dr. Scourin. Do you think that in your past experience with your finger on the pulse of nutrition and the etiology of disease, do you think that Pam's experience was unique just to her and an aberration? Or do you think that a lot of people who go to a vegan diet, which is an extreme diet, have the same results? They have that rush of the system being cleared out of metabolic waste. It's almost like a cleansing in the beginning, but then after that, the body just can't live on it.
You know, there's not one size fits all when it comes to diets, and I've definitely seen what's happened to Pam happen to a lot of people. You know, they stop eating gluten, they stop eating dairy, they get bad meats out of their diet, and they initially feel better. I've seen a handful of people who really do well when it comes to being vegan. And that's because they're doing it right and they're eating
yes.
the right sources of protein. They're making sure they have the right level of nutrients. But I also see a lot of people go down the exact road that Pam went down and they actually become extremely weak. I was speaking to a head of a vegetarian association up in Massachusetts a few weeks ago. And he looked like he was going to fall over. And I see even kids, because I deal with mostly pediatrics, where parents are doing this to their kids. And I'm scared, just like you are, that they're not doing it right. And if they're not doing it right, they're going to be sick and they're going to set them up for health problems down the road.
My good friend Mike Mahler is a vegan because of his spiritual beliefs. He does not want to exploit animals. I have a lot of respect for the guy. And as a result of that, Mike works extremely hard. I mean, he has pea protein, hemp protein. He has all these different protein sources that he incorporates every single day. He makes sure that he gets certain vitamins and minerals that he knows are not getting. He's not getting from his vegan approach. Mike works hard to be a vegan. In my experience, most vegans, like Steve Jobs, rest in peace, eat a very high glycemic index diet because as long as it's not an animal or animal origin, they feel that they're doing the right thing, and they usually turn to a high degree to grains and soy. And I have to believe that those two things are the kiss of death in the vegan diet. Pam, what do you think about that?
Well, I think, first of all, yes, they can be consuming too many carbohydrates, and our bodies are really not designed to, you know, deal with a lot of carbohydrates. And so, you know, we only have one hormone. It's called insulin. And so if we were to eat a lot of carbohydrates, I believe we would have a backup system to deal with all of this sugar. Let's just call it, that's what it is. It's sugar. So I don't think we're designed to eat a lot of carbohydrates. And so by replacing animal protein with the plant-based proteins, of course, yes, there's the risk that you're going to take in too many carbohydrates. And so this is one of the things that most vegetarians don't know, is that many of them are pre-diabetic. In other words,
yes.
they're heading to diabetes and don't know it. And unfortunately, even getting tested for pre-diabetes isn't an absolute test. They aren't necessarily going to be properly diagnosed with pre-diabetes. So another issue, not just the excess amount of carbohydrates in the diet, that's not the only problem, plant-based foods are high in copper and low in zinc. Animal foods are high in zinc, low in copper. So what happens with vegetarians and vegans in particular is they become copper toxic. And that is just, that's what gives them that fuzzy feeling in the brain, which they mistake for being spiritual. They call it a spiritual feeling, but it's actually a very, very fuzzy feeling in the brain. And I've helped enough, I mean, I have, every single day I get a new call from a vegetarian trying to get well, and across the board they complain about this brain fog or this fuzzy feeling in their brain. And invariably when I test them, they are indeed copper toxic and zinc deficient. And so this creates a havoc of biochemical imbalances in the body. And it's not just going to lead to more fatigue, depression, sleep disorders, but it also leads to a lot of problems with digestion as well.
Okay, let's do this. We have to take a break. When we come back, I want to come back and I want to discuss, I want to start delving into this notion that feeding children this way, whether it's a good thing or bad thing. And I'm going to come back and I want to talk to Dr. Scourin, since he is a naturopathic pediatrician specifically. We're going to take a quick commercial break. But before we take the break, I want to go ahead and plug both of my guests' books. These are both fantastic books. Dr. Jared Scourin has written 100 Natural Remedies for Your Child. This is a great book designed to help you help your children without turning to pharmaceutical drugs, which you hear the mantra already. They want to put 2 and 3 and 4 and 5 year olds on statin drugs. This is a very scary time in this country. The second book that I want to tell you about is Pam Colleen's book, Addiction, The Hidden Epidemic. Do not misunderstand the title of this book. This book is a cornucopia of nutritional advice that really, really, a lot of my listeners have bought this book and written me long emails telling me how it's changed their lives. Stay tuned. You're listening to Superhuman Radio. We'll be right back.
I've never felt a pump from taking a supplement. That's until I tried creatine nitrate from APS Nutrition. I expected to feel nothing, just like the NO supplements I had taken before. But this stuff really does work. Even taking below the recommended dose, I could feel the sensation of tighter muscles under the swelling effect of the pump. And the pump lasts for a few hours. It worked for me and I was a skeptic. Check out creatine nitrate by visiting APSNutrition.com today. Try it and you'll be a believer too.
I have never endorsed a training guide before The Blueprint by Rob Regish. The Blueprint combines the best techniques for building muscle and gaining strength with the best tips on supplementation and nutrition. Everyone who has used The Blueprint has surpassed their expectations in muscular gains in record time. You'll learn how to break through any plateau, how to make gains from every single workout, and all for the price of a single supplement purchase. Get your copy of The Blueprint today by going to superhumanradio.com and clicking the Blueprint banner ad. Order today and get copies of both The Blueprint 2.0 and 3.0, plus ongoing support on The Blueprint Forum to ensure your success.
Protein is the building block of muscle. Protein-rich diets have been shown to not only be heart healthy, but also burn body fat through the thermogenic effect of protein in the digestive process. But getting enough protein each day isn't easy. That's why I use True Protein from TrueProtein.com. TrueProtein.com has an incredible variety of flavors. My favorite is chocolate coconut. And you can even create your own custom blend. Mix whey, casein, and egg, or throw in a little beef isolate. And you can save 5% off the already low, low price when you use the coupon code SHRADIO. Visit TrueProtein.com today and let them know Carl sent you.
There are a few products that I believe in the way I believe in CanSee eye drops. I've been using CanSee for 6 months now, and the changes in my vision are nothing short of amazing. My near vision has improved and I can read small print from 8 inches. My overall vision is clearer and the glare from oncoming headlights doesn't bother me any longer. Just 1 to 2 drops a day and the results are visible. You can find CanSee eye drops at wisechoicemedicine.net or call 800-861-4936. That's 800-861-4936, wisechoicemedicine.net. CanSee eye drops. The name says it all.
No other peptide supplier has a more complete offering than Southern Research Companies. And no other peptide supplier can boast that all their research peptides are manufactured inside the United States in Tier 1 labs. Whether you're looking for IGF-1 long R3, GHRP6, GHRP2, melanotan-2, mechanogrowth factor, or PT-141, or hard-to-find peptides like triptorelin or follistatin, you'll find them at Southern Research Companies.
companies. Free shipping on orders over $150. Go to superhumanradio.com and click the Southern Research banner ad today and do business with the most trusted name in research peptides, Southern Research Company. Melatonin is the best sleep aid in the world, but it has one flaw, the delivery method. Melatonin tablets are not efficient and can wear off too soon, leaving you wide awake in the middle of the night. Time-release tablets make you feel groggy in the morning. Now there's the Age 4 Sustained Delivery Melatonin Patch. This transdermal patch delivers a precise amount of melatonin from the moment you apply it and continues to do so for an entire 6 hours. This ensures a full night's sleep while waking refreshed and ready to go. Visit ageforce.com and use the coupon code SHRMEL and save 50% off your first order. Go to ageforce.com and use SHRMEL today and sleep better tomorrow.
Your radio just got ripped. It's Superhuman Radio.
Welcome back to Superhuman Radio. I just want to mention that Age Force, in honor of Thanksgiving, for my audience only, starting today, after this show, if you go to superhumanradio.com, you'll see banner ads. All the Age Force transdermal patches, buy one, get one free. You can mix and match patches, get double the amount of product for the same amount of dollars. This is for new Age Force users. Check it out. Go to superhumanradio.com and look for the Age Force buy one, get one free banner ads. Okay, my guest this hour, Dr. Jared Skowron and Pam Colleen. Okay, so Dr. Skowron, young bodies. Right? I mean, I don't care what adults do to themselves. Let's face it. I mean, adults can eat raw meat and they can smoke cigarettes, they can drink alcohol, they can live recklessly. But those little bodies that are in our care, We're required to be much more conservative with the way that we handle them. And is it reckless? Is it just a bad idea? Is it a good idea? Where do you stand on a parent who is living this extreme lifestyle, imposing it on a child at the age of, let's say, under 12 years old?
You know, nutrition is more essential, like you said, in kids than in adults, because you are at such a tender moment of development, developing the brain, developing the bones, developing the muscle, and literally building a person rather than just kind of replacing things and keeping it running. You need, like you said, better nutrition now than at any other time. And doing the wrong diet, regardless of what diet it is harmful. I mean, I test these kids for nutritional deficiencies, and I see it throughout. I mean, we can talk about an extreme diet like an extreme vegan diet that's done improperly, and I'm glad you brought up Steve Jobs, because I like to talk about people who say they're vegetarians but just eat carbs. They're carbitarians.
Yes.
And, you know, just eating bread products just because it's not meat is not healthy. And even if you talk about an extreme diet like a fast food diet or a really poor standard American diet, if you're in the improper diet, you're going to have nutritional deficiencies. I see it way too often.
Okay, Pam, what is missing in the vegan diet that the adult can perhaps modulate and get by that the child can't?
Oh, well, I don't really think the adult is getting by with it, actually. You know, the long-chain fatty acids really should be coming from a direct source of animal fat. And children, of course, do need these long-chain fatty acids, of course, for proper growth and development. And along with those fats, of course, you're going to get the fat-soluble vitamins A and D, which are also crucial for growth and development. You know, I have parents who come to me who were women who come to me who were pregnant as vegetarians and raised their children as vegetarians. And Carl, all I see from these children, of course, is learning disabilities, severe learning disabilities, and epilepsy and things like that. If you dig into the research, what you'll discover is that women who are vegetarians are, first of all, much greater risk of lowered fertility. Men who are vegetarians have lowered sperm counts.
And I want to speak about that, too. Go ahead. Mm-hmm. Go ahead.
Yeah, and so, you know, and lowered libido is another issue, another side effect that I commonly see. But the devastating effect, of course, is when children are born and they have underdeveloped brains and their nervous systems are starving, and of course they manifest symptoms such as epilepsy and learning disabilities. Now, these parents do mean well. There's no question about that. They have good intentions. But, you know, there are some very, very crucial nutrients that really do need to come from animal foods. And unfortunately, these children are not getting enough animal foods in their diet. Now, I see this problem with near vegetarians as well, people who are just simply eating too many plant-based foods in general.
Okay. I want to go back for a second, because this is a drum that I've been beating recently, and I'd like to have both of you weigh in on it as well. We'll turn it to Dr. Scourin first. I keep telling people that libido is not some recreational thing that is in style and meaningless. And Pam, you hit on it. In times of famine, we are programmed. Our only job as an organism is to reproduce and die. Really, that's job one for us. Everything else is a byproduct of our lifestyle. But reproduce and die. If you don't have a libido, if you're having low sperm motility, if you are having problems conceiving, there's a reason for it. Aside from maybe some anatomical problem that you were born with, there's a reason for it. If you're not thriving, then you are programmed not to procreate. What would you say to that statement, Dr. Scourin?
You know, we shut down when we're under times of stress. And like you said, it's all about evolution. And if we're not functioning correctly, our libido is going to go down.
Yes.
I can't count the number of people who come into my office with a low libido. Some of them admit it, and some of them are too embarrassed to admit it, whether it's the depression or insomnia or whatever you want to call it. It's not happening as much as it should. And, you know, I think people are really sick, whether it comes to their diet, regardless of what it may be, or even just the stress that we're under. But it happens way too often, and people shouldn't be embarrassed about it.
So
that's right. And I see it. It's a very, common problem that I see all the time as well. And it's a measurement. It's exactly what you're saying there, Carl. It's a measurement. In order to determine whether or not a diet is healthy, you must look through generations. You can't just say, oh, this person is following this diet and has been following it for 1 year, 2 year, or 10 years. That's not enough time to convince anybody that a diet is healthy. In order to convince yourself whether or not a diet is healthy, you must look at the parents, the grandparents, the grandchildren, and so on. You must look for 3, 4, 5, you know, several generations who have been following that diet to determine whether or not it's healthy. And this is why, you know, what President Clinton is doing by promoting a vegan diet, and he's been following it for 1 year, that's simply not enough of a gauge to determine whether or not a diet is healthy. Secondly, you must also say, you know, what else is going on with this individual? Do they have brain fog? Are they sleeping well at night? What's their libido like? What's their sperm count like? What's their sex drive like? You must look at all of these variables to determine whether or not a diet is healthy. Because I don't consider a diet sustainable if people are depressed and infertile.
Well, you know, it's funny you should say that, because remember the story of Kellogg, how Kellogg came along. Kellogg was a sexually oppressive individual who found that if you abandoned meat and dairy because of the reduction in fats and cholesterol, the individual lost their libido. So he created cornflakes as a way to help young boys and young girls lose their libido, because he believed that all disease started because of the evils of sexuality.
So, well, that's right, and that goes back to Sylvester Graham, whom he learned from. Sylvester Graham in the early 1800s, and then Kellogg, both of them were promoting a high-fiber, low-fat diet, and that was in order to curb lust. So that is the history of a vegan diet, is to basically destroy the libido.
Now, Dr. Scourin, the soy industry talks out of both sides of their mouth. When they're promoting soy's estrogenic effects, they talk to women and say, you know, a serving of soy, 2 servings of soy a day can help to mitigate, peri and postmenopausal symptoms and upregulate bone mineral density because it acts just like estrogen. Then when you say to them, how could you give soy to young boys? They go, oh, well, the estrogenic effects are really negligible. They're really not that. Where is it? Where is the truth, Dr. Scourin?
I really think there's a lot to do with epigenetics here, and I want to follow on what Pam was talking about. When you have a certain diet for generations and generations, and if you look at certain Asian cultures, especially the Japanese culture, they've been eating whole non-processed soy for generations. And undoubtedly, they're one of the healthiest, longest living populations in the world. And I think some people do well with soy, and I think that's part of evolution. And then I think there's other parts that don't do well with soy, and that estrogenic effect. I mean, I see girls who are starting their periods when they're 8 years old, and I see boys who have enlarged breast tissue. And I really think it's this processing of soy that really highlights people of certain genetic ancestries where it's not a good thing.
Well, you know what? We did a whole show with a mutual friend of Pam's and mine, Randy Roach. 2 years ago, 2.5, 3 years ago, we did a show on the Hunza. The Hunza are lacto-vegans. They use dairy because they're in such a remote part of the world that they can't kill animals and eat them, but they can milk them and survive on the milk. And then they eat a lot of the vegetation that they find there. And they regularly, at least they did before the westernization of their area, they regularly lived past 100 years old as lacto-vegans. But this is what I promote on the show. I don't talk about the paleo diet. I talk about ancestral diets. You need to look at your ancestors, the region of the world that you arrived from. What foods were native? Those were the foods that your DNA formed under. You have polymorphisms that make you prone to digesting certain foods and not digesting certain foods. Look at the number of people that are lactose intolerant.
Mm-hmm.
So I agree 100% with you on this. But I have to say, and I've done a show on this with Dr. Scott Connolly, the founder of Metrics. I have to say that I think that soy is one of the most dangerous foods that we have out there. Everybody is screaming bloody murder about endocrine disruptors like BPA and phthalates. They pale in comparison to the impact, sheerly because of the amount of soy in our food chain. They pale in comparison to the potential damaging effects to the endocrine system that soy produces. Soy is everywhere. Even when you go and buy a hamburger, there's some amount of textured vegetable protein in fast food hamburgers. You're getting bombarded with soy. And I have to believe that if BPA is bad and phthalates are bad, then soy is bad. And I called for the FDA to treat soy because of its drug-like effects like a drug.
Mm-hmm. And you have to remember, too, that in cultures around the world, of course, the soy was properly prepared. So it would have been, you know, fermented at some point, hopefully, anyway. So
what does the fermentation do?
It breaks down the anti-nutrients, essentially. It breaks down the anti-nutrients, Carl. So it just makes it so that it's more digestible, more usable for the system. And soy is actually a relatively new food, even within the Asian culture. It's, I think, 2,000 to 3,000 years old. It's not a very old food, but certainly they really learned to consume it after they learned these techniques of fermentation.
Okay, let's do this. We have to take a quick commercial break. When we come back, I want to pick up the discussion. I've got lots more questions. We're talking with Pam Killeen, author of Addiction, the Hidden Epidemic, and of course, Dr. Jared Skowron, 100 Natural Remedies for Your Child. Stay tuned. You're listening to Superhuman Radio. We'll be right back. From the most advanced supplement company on the planet, Primordial Performance, comes the new Andro Series. Andro Lean is a thermogenic aid that will promote lipolysis and incinerate body fat. Andro Mass creates explosive gains and is highly anabolic. Andro Hard will turn your muscles into granite hard stone while increasing sex drive and maximizing strength. The Andro Series represents the most advanced delivery systems available anywhere. These are non-methylated and completely liver safe and non-toxic. Buy one or stack all of the new Andro Series products today at primordialperformance.com. Orbit Nutrition carries over 1,000 of the hottest nutritional supplements, performance enhancers, and nutraceuticals on the planet. And now, Superhuman Radio listeners get an additional 5% off their everyday low prices by using the coupon code SHR5. That's SHR and the number 5. Choose from products like Quest Protein Bars, iForce Nutrition, Iron Mag Labs, and more. Check out Orbit's daily deals for special insane blowouts.
blowout prices. Log on to the Orbit Nutrition Forum and get feedback about the products you're shopping for and get an additional 5% off using the coupon code SHR5. Orbit Nutrition. Fast, reliable, competitive, international. Why shop anywhere else? Finally, a time-released energy tablet. No more shots or drinks filled with sugar. Atomic Tabs are here. Atomic Tabs are the only time-released high-energy chewable tablet available anywhere. Atomic Tabs have as much caffeine as a cup of coffee combined with energy and focus-enhancing ingredients that will give you a long-lasting wave of energy with no jitters or crash. Energy comes on in 5 minutes after you chew it. Go to AtomicTabs.com, be one of the first 10,000 people to sign the mailing list, and get a free sample of Atomic Tabs. Go to AtomicTabs.com today. Chew your energy.
If you want to be superhuman, you can't eat junk. Finally, there's a protein bar that isn't just candy in disguise. Quest protein bars have 20 grams of protein, 4 to 5 grams of non-fiber carbs, and the only bars on the market with no sugar or sugar alcohols. I've never promoted a protein bar before, but these are delicious and unlike any other protein bars you've ever tried before. They're so good that Quest Nutrition is giving away 2 free bars to all my listeners, even free shipping. Go to superhumanradio.com right now and click the Quest Protein Bar banner ad to try them today.
If you're like me, you avoid the insulin spike from eating pasta, but not anymore. Miracle Noodle is the world's first no-calorie, no-carbohydrate noodle. You heard me right. Now you can enjoy pasta dishes and stay on your low-carb diet. They have fettuccine, linguine, rigatoni, and more. Even angel hair pasta is now a no-calorie, no-carb food. And Miracle Noodle tastes great. So go to superhumanradio.com today and click the Miracle Noodle banner ad to learn more about how you can start enjoying pasta again, even when you're dieting. Find your Miracle Noodle at superhumanradio.com today.
I've never felt a pump from taking a supplement. That's until I tried creatine nitrate from APS Nutrition. I expected to feel nothing, just like the NO supplements I had taken before. But this stuff really does work. Even taking below the recommended dose, I could feel the sensation of tighter muscles under the swelling effect of the pump. And the pump lasts for a few hours. It worked for me and I was a skeptic. Check out creatine nitrate by visiting APSNutrition.com today. Try it and you'll be a believer too.
Build muscle, burn fat. It's Superhuman Radio.
Either you're with those who love freedom, or you're with those who hate innocent life.
Welcome back to Superhuman Radio. Okay. We're going to further the discussion. I want to talk about... So we've established that an extreme vegan diet for young children is really not a good idea. Unless the parent that is formulating the diet plan for the child takes into consideration that the diet is not heavily laden in grains and obviously copper-forming vegetables, as well as, in my humble opinion, unfermented soy products because of the estrogenic effects. So what does a parent do? And Dr. Scarron, you posted on Facebook a question to the listeners about the blood diet. The blood diet takes into consideration, from my recollection, polymorphisms. It takes into consideration, it's a more targeted approach to ancestral diets. If you don't know who your ancestors were, you can do some checking around to see what foods are beneficial for you. Is that correct?
Yeah, exactly. And I bring it up for those two reasons. The first reason is that it is our closest link to an ancestral diet. You know, if your ancestors had a type O diet, were they hunters? And if they were a type A diet, were they more vegetarians? And I think it's a great link that we have to actually do different things. And the second thing, you talk about poor Dr. Oz shows. Dr. Oz had a show on the blood type diet and didn't bring up any of the great research that backs it up.
Please, you know what? My head explodes every time I even listen to one of his shows. That's why we're doing this show today, because he totally abominated the Paleolithic style of eating and just for pure ratings, sensationalized the whole thing and then turned it into a vegan diet. So
right.
Yeah, I mean it's terrible. So what the blood diet? Do you have to go get blood work done and then they profile it?
You know, there's a lot of different things that are going on now with the guy who created the blood type diet. And, initially, as long as you know your blood type, you can kind of pick and choose your diets. It's really becoming a lot more advanced now with his genomic diet, and it's just more investigation into your genetics so you can take a look at what foods are probably best for you. But, you know, like you said, when you bring this to a kid, you've really got to get a lot of different foods into their diet, and it's tough. And the biggest problem I have in my office is compliance, because, you know, kids have certain tastes, and you want to make sure that you're really doing moderation, and you don't want to go over aboard one thing. Like you gave the example of the massage therapist who's doing soy smoothies five times a day.
Yeah, ridiculous. Pam, do you have an opinion of the blood diet? Did you write about it in Addiction, the Hidden Epidemic?
No, I actually just make it as simple as possible for my clients. I just tell them I want them to eat three square meals a day before World War II, basically. We ate three square meals a day. We weren't meat phobic. We weren't egg phobic. We weren't liver phobic. We weren't butter phobic. We weren't cholesterol phobic. I mean, we didn't have any of those food phobias basically before World War II. We sat down and we ate three square meals a day, and we were actually much healthier then than we are now. So I bring it into a frame of reference that I hope is somewhat understandable for people, because so many people out there have seen those black and white TV shows where we did sit down and eat these very simple meals, these three square meals a day, and you wouldn't have heard us basically demonizing meat or eggs or butter. So I just ask people to eat that simple paradigm, and that seems to help them understand what it is they need to do.
Well, let's talk about this for a second. Let's say there's parents out there who, let's say this fella who we're talking about listens to this show, and he goes, you know, I thought I was doing the right thing. The vegan diet makes me feel good, but maybe you're right. Maybe I'm going to hit a wall soon, but I don't want to do that to my children. I want to be more responsible. But at the same time, the media feeds us messages, and actually, some of the messages I agree with, because like most things, you can't get everything you need in a soundbite. You know, conventionally grown beef, I'm totally opposed to. I think grass-fed, hormone-free beef is the way to go. You talk about World War II, before World War II, that's what we were eating back then.
Yeah, 90% of the beef cattle were grass-fed. There's no question about that. So, yes, the quality of the meat is certainly something to take into account. But when I'm teaching classes to people who don't necessarily have access to grass-fed meat, for whatever their reason, Carl, I just tell them I want them to start with that profile of being able to eat three square meals a day. And if they can get to the gold standard of getting grass-fed and pastured animal foods, then that's what I want them to aspire towards. So I don't have anybody, I don't want anybody feeling guilty if they can't get the gold standard, simply because I've had some, you know, people on low-income groups that have come to my classes and they have fed their children essentially soy and salad, and unfortunately these children end up with severe learning disabilities and so on. So when I try to get them so that they're guilt-free and that they can go back to this very sound paradigm, you know, they feel a sense of relief.
What would you say to this fella, Dr. Scourin, if he happened to tune into this show and he's thinking to himself, gee, you know, maybe it's not a responsible thing to do the vegan diet. What would you tell him to do for his children?
Well, you know, it's all about moderation. And, you know, if you do want to go vegetarian, make sure you get the right proteins and change the proteins and do different types of beans and different types of whole grains, so you can treat them as healthy as possible. Because like you said, he wants the best for his kids. That's why he's doing this. And everybody wants the best for his kids. But Pam brings up that pre-World War II type of food at the table, and it sounds like a high-end restaurant to me. I've got grass-fed beef. I've got whole raw.
Well, no. She did say that she doesn't promote exclusively grass-fed beef because some people are in a socioeconomic situation where that's not even realistic, or geographically they can't get it. So she says to return to the types of foods we ate before World War II, not necessarily the actual quality of foods because they're not necessarily available to everybody.
Right. And, you know, wouldn't it be great? I mean, I wish we could all have gardens in our backyard again and eat things that we grow locally. So
my listeners do. I have more listeners now that have gardens. From Scandinavia, they send us pictures of the gardens that they're growing on their patios now because we promoted that. We say, hey, look, it doesn't take a lot of work. And this is really important. You better start growing some of your own food if you want to stay healthy.
Well, we got to get away from Monsanto and ConAgra and what they're doing to our foods.
Yeah, absolutely, absolutely. Okay, so getting back to the issues with children and the vegan diet, because I do want to just finish this up before we go into the next break. The real issue here is with any extreme diet where you're eating just one group of macronutrients, for instance, or focusing on a single macronutrient approach, you run the risk of developing some nasty mineral and vitamin deficiencies in young growing bodies. Pam, what do these manifest themselves as in children so that this fellow who's listening can go, wow, my kids are starting to do that right now?
Well, I can tell you, because children don't necessarily have a frame of reference to know that their symptoms are there even. They may have been born sick, and so they don't necessarily know what it feels like to have energy. But what certainly adults can watch for, and this is typically what I hear from adults, is they first have poor memory problems, right? They first develop sort of short-term memory issues. And then from there, they tend to develop cold hands and cold feet because they're just not eating enough animal fat to support the adrenal or thyroid function. And then, of course, the libido starts to deteriorate. And then typically sleep disorders are a very, very common problem. It's hard to fall asleep. It's hard to stay asleep. It's hard to wake up feeling like you've had a restorative sleep. And then down the road, of course, a lot of aches and pains, osteoarthritis, and all these sorts of things can set in. So there is a very typical progression showing with regards to vegetarians. And I want to just clarify, some vegetarians can do fine as lacto-ovo vegetarians.
Yes.
They just need to know to eat enough high-quality eggs and dairy in order to get certain nutrients, like vitamin B6, for instance. In order to get enough vitamin B6, it's a very fragile vitamin, and raw dairy, of course, is what they would want to be consuming, and pastured eggs, of course. So if they're eating enough high-quality eggs and dairy, they probably could have a chance at health. I don't see it very often, if at all, but it is something that if people do want to stay away from meat, certainly that is an option.
That would be my opinion, personally. If I had a child that I was devoted, for whatever reason, to living a vegan lifestyle, let's say it's a spiritual reason, I don't want to hurt animals. You're not hurting a chicken when it lays an egg, and milking cows is not hurting them. And I would absolutely approach it from a lacto-vegan or a lacto-ovo-vegan lifestyle. Because at least and of course raw milk, raw unpasteurized milk exclusively, because at least then you're getting all of the beneficial amino acids that are found in raw milk, and you're getting a lot of the immuno factors and growth factors and a lot of the things that you are not getting in a strictly vegan diet. What would you say to that, Dr. Scarron?
Well, definitely, and you know, Pam answered the question fantastically. How do adults feel when they have this lack of nutrients? Kids feel the same way, except we call it ADD. We can't focus. We can't concentrate. I get a little bit hyperactive. And, you know, the common nutrients that we're lacking in a vegan diet, vitamin B12, iron, zinc, these are the nutrients that help the brain function properly. So, you know, this is what I'm testing in kids, and this is what I'm treating with supplements in kids, and then the ADD and the ADHD go away.
Yeah.
You know, I think the eggs and the milk are a great place to get it, but some of the kids have problems with casein. But if you go for the raw milk, then they do much better on it. I've seen kids calm down in just a few days going on raw milk.
I want to take a break, and when I come back, what I want to focus on for the last segment of the show is omega-3 fatty acids and brain function. We're talking with Dr. Jared Scarron and Pam Killeen, both two fantastic authors. Pam's book is called Addiction, The Hidden Epidemic. Do not misunderstand the name of this book. This book is a complete library on nutrition. I promise you that. And then, of course, Dr. Jared Scarron's book, 100 Natural Remedies for Your Child. And you can get these at Amazon.com or at their individual websites. Your website is 100naturalremedies.com, right, Dr. Scarron?
That's right.
And then Pam's is Pam Killeen, KILLEEN.com. Stay tuned. We'll be right back.
There are a few products that I believe in the way I believe in CanSee eye drops. I've been using CanSee for 6 months now, and the changes in my vision are nothing short of amazing. My near vision has improved, and I can read small print from 8 inches. My overall vision is clearer, and the glare from oncoming headlights doesn't bother me any longer. Just 1 to 2 drops a day, and the results are visible. You can find CanSee eye drops at wisechoicemedicine.net or call 800-861-4936. That's 800-861-4936. wisechoicemedicine.net. CanSee eye drops. The name says it all.
That's the sound of 37 dumbbells. That's a lot of weight and a lot of wasted space when you can get the same thing done with just one set of power blocks. The new, quieter urethane series power blocks with FlexPin technology are the heaviest and easiest to use quick change dumbbells on the market. Starting at just $149 a pair, Power Blocks can grow as your strength grows, all the way up to 130 pounds per dumbbell. Imagine a whole rack of dumbbells in the space of just one pair with Power Blocks. Go to powerblock.com today or call 800-651-1937. Power Block, the world's best dumbbell.
Orbit Nutrition carries over 1,000 of the hottest nutritional supplements, performance enhancers, and nutraceuticals on the planet. And now, Superhuman Radio listeners get an additional 5% off their everyday low prices by using the coupon code SHR5. That's SHR and the number 5. Choose from products like Quest Protein Bars, iForce Nutrition, Iron Mag Labs, and more. Check out Orbit's daily deals for special insane blowout prices. Log on to the Orbit Nutrition Forum and get feedback about the products you're shopping for, and get an additional 5% off using the coupon code SHR5. Orbit Nutrition. Fast, reliable, competitive, international. Why shop anywhere else?
Never before has an anti-estrogen been so powerful. The triazole formula is built on a potent, all-natural aromatase inhibitor called Pizole, which has been shown in clinical trial to be as effective as a leading prescription aromatase inhibitor. Pizole works in concert with the rest of the triazole formula to control estrogen while simultaneously boosting testosterone significantly. In fact, one of triazole's testers had a 120% increase in total testosterone and a 257% increase in free testosterone. Triazole is available at bodybuilding.com, NutriPlanet.com, or where finer supplements are sold. For more information, check out GetDS.com.
I have never endorsed a training guide before The Blueprint by Rob Regish. The Blueprint combines the best techniques for building muscle and gaining strength with the best tips on supplementation and nutrition. Everyone who has used The Blueprint has surpassed their expectations in muscular gains in record time. You'll learn how to break through any plateau, how to make gains from every single workout, and all for the price of a single supplement purchase. Get your copy of The Blueprint today by going to superhumanradio.com and clicking the Blueprint banner ad. Order today and get copies of both The Blueprint 2.0 and 3.0, plus ongoing support on The Blueprint Forum to ensure your success. Thousands of Superhuman Radio listeners already know how well GLC 2000 works at repairing joints and cartilage, and it's the best price on the market, milligram for milligram. Now GLC Direct is offering a special that my listeners can take advantage of. Buy one, get one free of any GLC 2000 product. That's right. Buy one of your favorite GLC 2000 products and get one free. Capsules or raw powder. Just mention Superhuman Radio and buy one, get one free today. Call 866-452-3473 or click the GLC banner ad on superhumanradio.com. Offer limited to one per household.
Listen strong. It's Superhuman Radio.
Welcome back to Superhuman Radio. I was up early this morning at 4 o'clock in the morning to start reading Muscle, Smoke, and Mirrors, Volume 2. What an amazing book. Randy Roach has outdone himself yet again. Go to superhumanradio.com and look for the Muscle, Smoke, and Mirrors banner ad to get your copy today. Unbelievable. Unbelievable. If you want to understand physical culture and its nutritional origins, you must read both Volume 1 and Volume 2. If you've read Volume 1, you know that you've been waiting for Volume 2 to come out, and it's now available. Okay. My guests this hour, Pam Colleen and Dr. Jared Scowron. Later in the show, Rob Wolf. We're going to be talking about The Wizard of Oz's most recent episode on the prehistoric diet and picking it up from there. So you'll want to listen to that segment as well. Okay. Coming back at this just for a moment, omega-3 fatty acids. One of the things that this gentleman said to Elisa was that he gives his children lots of flaxseed oil for the omega-3s. I had heard and read over the past few years that the omega-3 fatty acids in flaxseed oil are not readily bioavailable to individuals that eat that. Is that true, Dr. Scowron?
You know, Pam probably knows more about the biochemistry of this stuff than I do. My concern with seeds is that they're not readily digested. So, I mean, they're so tiny and they've got such a thick husk or hull that you really need to break through them. And, you know, so I'll have patients get coffee grinders and put seeds in there so they can break the stuff open. But, you know, whatever they can eat with things like avocados that also have good fats. But I'd love to hear Pam weigh in on the biochemistry of those.
What do you think, Pam?
Well, what you're trying to say, I think, is that when you eat flaxseed oil, people are thinking they're getting the right kind of omega-3 fats to support the nervous system. And although, you know, flaxseed oil actually has some great attributes, you just don't want to do too much of that, number one. And number two, you don't want to rely on it as your form of omega-3 fat. Because essentially what it does is it's when you consume flaxseed oil, you will convert a small amount of that into the long-chain fatty acid, the DHA, that your brain desperately needs. But this conversion rate is not only very low, it's very risky to rely on that transition to occur, because if you have a lot of health problems, it's just not going to convert that readily. So what you want to do is rely on the DHA, or the long-chain fatty acid, that would come from animal fats. And that's the crucial animal fat that puts together your cell membrane, that allows for synaptic transmission to occur between your neurotransmitters and their receptors. And so you need to have enough of this long-chain fatty acid right from its source, from the animal source, in order to support your nervous system. You cannot rely on this source from coming from flaxseed oil.
Well, you know, when, good. I'm sorry, Dr. Scarron.
No, real quick, you know, when I see people who, you know, treat their kids for ADD with fish oil, but then change to flax oil because they want to go vegan, it doesn't work. I just
don't see
the improvements at all.
See, and this is my point. And the reason I'm talking about omega-3s is because there is so much good research on out there, both in adults and children, that shows that inadequate amounts of omega-3s can actually cause a change in mood and personality. It could lead to chronic depression and symptoms of chronic depression. And omega-3s are profoundly important for brain function. And that's exactly what I was going with that. You have children out there who have ADHD, and they have this, and they have that, and all of a sudden you get them an adequate amount of omega-3s, and you see their moods change overnight. But flaxseed oil doesn't do the same thing, does it, Dr. Scarron?
No. You know, every time I've seen people use it, they just don't get what they want.
Yeah.
No. And keep in mind that our ancestors would have gotten their oils and fats directly from the food source. They wouldn't have been pressing oils and fats. This is a very new phenomenon. So there's a risk in taking too much omega-3 as well. So we've seen that problem with omega-6 fats over the last 100 years, Carl, where we've consumed too many omega-6 fats, and that's created a tremendous imbalance in our omega-3 to 6 ratio. And so really there is that risk in taking too much omega-3 fats as well from fish oil. Nobody is doing that research to show what might happen if we do take too much fish oil, but I do think it's a good idea, exactly what you're saying, Carl. I think it's a great idea to certainly bring up the omega-3 levels and catch up, so that you're not deficient and that you're creating the you know, healthy ratio between 6 and 3s. So I do put my clients on fish oil, but I try and, in the long run, get them to rely on getting their omega-3s straight from the food.
Yeah.
That's always better, and I don't know if Pam sees it, but any kids who have eczema or dry skin in combination with ADD, I see them respond so much faster to some fish oil supplementally, but also, like Pam said, bringing in their diet. I mean, that's how.
Yeah.
That's how.
And I'm working with a lot of people with mood disorders and addiction as well, and they do need to do a lot of catching up. They're so deficient in the omega-3s.
But what do you want? You know what? There's people are so afraid of animal protein, and they're afraid of fat, and this mixed message that they're getting out there. And actually, I have to be honest with you. This weekend, one of my favorite shows to watch on Sunday morning is Sunday Morning. And this weekend, they did a fantastic job covering a couple stories. One of them, the woman is actually going to be on our show in December, who just wrote a book called Fat, the importance of fat in the diet. And they were talking about the importance of fat in the diet. And we're starting to see some traction now. People are those who are paying attention to what I like to call health history are going, why didn't our great grandparents have all these problems and they lived into their 80s and 90s without Lipitor?
Yeah, in a nutshell, Carl, of course, if you're of European descent, you know, really your ancestors would have probably gotten about 70% of their calories from animal fat. So for it to have joined the dark side suddenly after World War II, I mean, it's absurd. Our ancestors would be rolling over in their graves if they saw we were afraid of eating butter and red meat and eggs and so on. I mean, they thrived and survived very healthfully on those foods.
So, Dr. Scarron, if someone came into your office as a patient with a child, and they said, you know, Dr. Scarron, I'm living a vegan lifestyle. I'm loving it. I've got my brain is clear for the first time. And we know that that's just an intermediate step when you first kind of detox from bad meats and so on. If anybody missed the beginning of the show. But, you know, I just love this, and I really want to do it for my child, too. What would you say to them?
What I'd tell them is really kind of what we've been talking about in the whole show, about the dangers of an extreme type of diet. And the other thing that we need to do is, you know, everybody assumes, you know, I'm taking a multivitamin or I took a prenatal when I was pregnant. My child must have all the nutrients that they need. And so we really do a nutritional analysis on everybody that comes in just to show them the truth. And everybody's shocked when they see, wow, I don't have this, I don't have this, but I eat all these different foods.
Yeah. How about you, Pam? What would you say if someone came to you and said, Pam, I've been eating vegan. I love it. I don't know what happened to you, but I'm getting my kids on it too now because, look, it'll actually reverse the potential for heart disease later on.
Oh, dear. No, I mean, that's, again, what I try to do is reason with them and talk about nutrients that they've never heard of before that are really not addressed in the vegetarian propaganda. You know, the long-chain fatty acids, of course, are crucial. Where are they getting other B vitamins? Where are they getting, their carnitine, their CoQ10? Where are they getting the balance of zinc and copper? They're not being taught these things. Certainly, I wasn't taught these things back in the 90s when I was promoting the benefits of a vegetarian diet. And now that I know these things, I see how deficient I got and why my chronic fatigue got so much worse and why I ended up with so much pain in my body. I just was not getting enough of the nutrients to support both my immune system and my nervous system. So, Carl, I mean, I know people that are promoting vegetarianism and veganism.
Dr. Oz, he embraces that Forks Over Knife movie the new mantra.
Yeah. Yes. Well, and I know that they might mean well, but they're just so dangerously misinformed. And typically what ends up happening is I just have to tell people, you know what, you need to learn the hard way the way I did. And that's exactly what they end up doing is they learn the hard way. I have a client right now who's 7 years ago he was actually at the same seminar I was at where it was a debate between Sally Fallon, Brian Clement, David Wolf, and another raw food vegan. And at the end of that debate, I got on the microphone and I said to the audience, I said, listen, Sally, you're doing such great work with the Weston Price Foundation. I announced to the audience that I was a recovering vegan, and I basically warned them about the diet. And there was a gentleman in the auditorium at the time who didn't believe me. He thought I didn't know what I was talking about and that I must have done the diet wrong. And 7 years later, Carl, I get a phone call from this guy, and he didn't know who I was by calling me. He didn't know that I was the person in the auditorium that night. And he's calling me now, asking me to help him get well. And he's over 7 years as a raw food vegan, and he's essentially eating crow right now. And I wish he had heard me 7 years ago, but unfortunately, people need to.
Crow is a good animal protein. So. At least he wisened up. Dr. Scarron, you were about to say something. You have the last word, and then we'll go out there.
I just really want everybody to do things correct because, like you said, you know, you see some TV show and these people just grab on to whatever the latest fad is or whatever the Wizard of Oz is saying. But, you know, go see somebody specialized. Go see a nutritionist. Go see a naturopathic physician and really get the most appropriate diet. And it's all about balance and it's all about getting it out of your whole foods.
Dr. Oz, and I'm sorry, I slipped. I called him Dr. Oz. The Wizard of Oz does such a terrible, terrible disservice to this country. But more importantly to the women, because he markets exclusively to women. And women are the most susceptible for these mixed messages. And on top of that, they feed their families. So they are the way in. Everyone knows if you want to market, you get the women to buy it, everything else falls in place. And the Wizard of Oz does such a terrible disservice to this country by trying to turn science into a game show. I have to tell you, I can't watch him. I watch him only because we want to do shows about some of the misinformation he spreads. But I have a hard time watching the guy. And I have to tell you something. He and I share the same birthday. I can't believe it. We're both born on June the 11th. I'm like, what happened to him?
Mm-hmm. Well, marketing-based science is very convincing. It's very seductive. It's not real science, but it's marketing-based science. And essentially, that's what he's bought into. And that's what I bought into, listening to a lot of this you know, nutritional propaganda back in the 90s. And before that, of course, the nutritional propaganda I bought into was the low-fat lie.
Yeah.
So it's very, very seductive, and I think what we need to do is return to wisdom. We need to return to common sense. And if there is really, really good evidence-based science out there, we do need to honor it as well. But unfortunately, that's not where people are turning for their advice.
I say pay attention to history. Look, we have to end the show. We've gone a little long. Jared Scowron's book, 100 Natural Remedies for Your Child. If you have children, you must have this book. And Pam Colleen's book, Addiction, the Hidden Epidemic. It's not about drug addiction, folks. This is about food. You have to remember, food has drug-like effects, and Pam lays it out in her book. Listen, I want to thank both of you for coming on the show today.
Thanks, Carl.
Okay. Thanks, Carl.
Okay.
Thanks.
All right, so stay tuned. When we come back, we're going to have Rob Wolf on, and we're going to be talking about a recent episode on the Wizard of Oz show, and we're going to have some fun. We'll be right back. No other peptide supplier has a more complete offering than Southern Research Companies. And no other peptide supplier can boast that all their research peptides are manufactured inside the United States in Tier 1 labs. Whether you're looking for IGF-1 Long R3, GHRP6, GHRP2, Melanotan 2, Mechanical Growth Factor, or PT-141, or hard-to-find peptides like Triptorelin or Follistatin, you'll find them at Southern Research Companies. Free shipping on orders over $150. Go to superhumanradio.com and click the Southern Research banner ad today and do business with the most trusted name in research peptides, Southern Research Company. Testosterone is the king of anabolic hormones, and Test Charge is unlike any testosterone amplifier you have ever tried, because only Test Charge has taxadrol, a substance that grows in only one place in the world and is only found in Test Charge. Test Charge will jack your testosterone levels like illegal agents, but rest assured, there are no banned substances in Test Charge. Test Charge is the secret weapon used by IFBB legend Flex Wheeler. And now, you can join the pro ranks. Go to AAEFX.com to learn more about where you can find Test Charge today. I have never endorsed a training guide before The Blueprint by Rob Regish. The Blueprint combines the best techniques for building muscle and gaining strength with the best tips on supplementation and nutrition. Everyone who has used The Blueprint has surpassed their expectations in muscular gains in record time. You'll learn how to break through any plateau, how to make gains from every single workout, and all for the price of a single supplement purchase. Get your copy of The Blueprint today by going to superhumanradio.com and clicking the Blueprint banner ad. Order today and get copies of both The Blueprint 2.0 and 3.0, plus ongoing support on The Blueprint forum to ensure your success.
Protein is the building block of muscle. Protein-rich diets have been shown to not only be heart healthy, but also burn body fat through the thermogenic effect of protein in the digestive process. But getting enough protein each day isn't easy. That's why I use True Protein from TrueProtein.com. TrueProtein.com has an incredible variety of flavors. My favorite is chocolate coconut. And you can even create your own custom blend. Mix whey, casein, and egg, or throw in a little beef isolate. And you can save 5% off the already low, low price when you use the coupon code SHRADIO. Visit TrueProtein.com today and let them know Carl sent you.
Orbit Nutrition carries over 1,000 of the hottest nutritional supplements, performance enhancers, and nutraceuticals on the planet. And now Superhuman Radio listeners get an additional 5% off their everyday low prices by using the coupon code SHR5. That's SHR and the number 5. Choose from products like Quest Protein Bars, iForce Nutrition, Iron Mag Labs, and more. Check out Orbit's daily deals for special insane blowout prices. Log on to the Orbit Nutrition Forum and get feedback about the products you're shopping for, and get an additional 5% off using the coupon code SHR5. Orbit Nutrition. Fast, reliable, competitive, international. Why shop anywhere else? Finally, a time-released energy tablet. No more shots or drinks filled with sugar. Atomic Tabs are here. Atomic Tabs are the only time-released, high-energy, chewable tablet available anywhere. Atomic Tabs have as much caffeine as a cup of coffee, combined with energy and focus-enhancing ingredients that will give you a long-lasting wave of energy with no jitters or crash. Energy comes on in 5 minutes after you chew it. Go to AtomicTabs.com, be one of the first 10,000 people to sign the mailing list, and get a free sample of Atomic Tabs. Go to AtomicTabs.com today. Chew your energy.
Move over, superheroes. This is the Superhuman Channel.
We'll be right back. Welcome back to Superhuman Radio. My next guest has been on the show before. Many of you know him. You love him. I posted that he was going to be on the show today. I got messages from everybody. Somebody put up on my Facebook, Rob, Carl Lenore and Rob Wolf for president.
Does that mean we have to be, like, genetically mated somehow?
No.
Because I thought that was a single-person job.
Yeah, but I think it's time that we have two presidents. I got to be honest with you. This is something I've talked about on the show, number one. And number two, the other day I said if I'm going to run for president next election on one platform, that I will choose an intelligent vice president. I will step into office, dismantle the FDA, put everybody who went from the FDA to private industry by jumping over and going to work for the companies that they provide oversight to in jail, and then I will abdicate the position and turn it over to the vice president and let him run the country. I just want to shut the FDA down. That's all I want to do.
I like it. I'll vote for that.
See, maybe I'll get in. Who knows? Anyway, well, so we're doing a show today that really is a little tongue-in-cheek, but it evolved from my ire when I recently was forced to watch a Wizard of Oz episode where Mehmet Oz did a show on what he called the prehistoric diet. It was a failed attempt at the paleo diet. I want to just play the trailer real quick, okay? So that people can hear the pandering and the over-centralization that he did here. Sit and listen to this.
On the next Dr. Oz, a diet so extreme.
I had some trepidation.
Three women just like you, overweight, blood pressure and cholesterol out of control. The diet challenge so radical, so wild.
For me, it's a matter of life and death.
Dr. Oz locks them up in a zoo.
Why are you guys in here?
Cut off from temptations.
Getting a little grouchy.
For just 48 hours, you won't believe the results. Could it save you?
Okay.
Lordy.
He's saving lives, Rob. He's saving lives.
Well, you know, there's a little backstory even with how that thing came about. You know, his Facebook page is obviously the guy is very popular. He has a fair amount of traffic, but most of the he will make a post and then he'll get 100, 150 comments, something like that, maybe 200 comments on whatever the post is. He did a post one day that was something to the effect, 50% of Americans have diabetes or similar degenerative disease. How do you manage your condition? And I tweeted on that and I basically said, yeah, how do you guys manage your degenerative conditions? And I basically shot it out to like the tweetosphere, and people rat packed him. There were over 5,000 comments on that thread, mainly from people in this kind of paleo evolutionary biology kind of scene, basically yeah. Talking about I don't manage my degenerative diseases anymore because I don't have them. And that was one piece, and then another piece, there was another Dr. Oz piece, and then there was this other young woman, Dr. Melina something,
yes.
And she had done a kind of an anti-paleo diet kind of gig, and I got in and talked about both of them, and one of the things in Dr. Oz's background was that we have talked to their producers multiple times about me being on the show, Lauren Cordain being on the show. We sent them information about a gal that a 23-year-old woman had aggressive early onset multiple sclerosis. We had brain imaging showing the demyelination of the neurons. And then after she went paleo and we got her vitamin D levels up, got her immune system squared away, postscript, she had normal brain imaging. Basically, the woman was dying of multiple sclerosis, and then she was free of multiple sclerosis. And we sent that along with a ton of other information to these guys. And we got basically the response that we got was making a joke of this whole ancestral diet, evolutionary, kind of approach to medicine. And it pissed me off in large part because, you know, this guy has so much bandwidth. He has so much
yes.
exposure that if he just said something remotely correct, he could literally save millions of lives.
Yes, but he's not interested in saving lives. The guy is doing—he's doing science game shows now. It's like the guy is a buffoon. And I said this—we did the first half of today's show. We did parents who forced their children to eat extreme diets, like vegan diets. You know, the mistakes that could present in health for those young children. And during the show, I said, you know, I was talking about this segment. And I said, you know, it's so frustrating to me because the guy is really doing such harm to this country because he sends out such bad information all the time. And that is because one reason only, he has been bought, paid for, and co-opted by the pharmaceutical agenda and the medical orthodoxy. And he will not propagate. I mean, look what he did to Gary Taubes. It was hard for him to make Gary Taubes his message weaker. And he was able to do that because Gary told me, he said they edited so much stuff out that he said that they never made the air.
Yeah. And you know, before they even went on, he kept reiterating, you know, keep in mind, this is for entertainment.
Yeah. It's entertainment.
And, you know, that sort of thing. So it's basically like, I'm going to pull your pants down, stick a banana up your ass, and it's going to be entertaining.
Yeah, yeah. It's entertaining to give people information that will lead to a shorter lifespan. That's really entertaining, Dr. Oz. But
yeah,
anyway, so he does this show, and so this is great. This is really good information. I have to say, and I want you to promote the information you have because individuals like you could actually change the direction or the path that we're on right now as a country if we could rid this country of chronic disease, much of the financial burden will go away. Will it ever happen? Probably not as easily as we would like it to happen because there's a lot of financial issues at risk if this message gets out there. And I want you to spread the message everywhere, but I hope you never do, Dr. Oz. I really do. And not because I don't wish you the best and I don't want you to get up there, because what ends up hitting the air will not allow the audience to receive the message with the gravity of importance that it should be received. And that's my fear.
I would totally agree. And I mean, we've been so close to getting on there multiple times, which obviously would be great from just like a, you know, what was the P.T. Barnum thing? You know, say whatever you want about me, just spell my name right.
Yeah,
kind
right.
Of gig, you know, so
right.
I mean, you know, it's nice on that regard, but then inevitably it's a joke. It's a circus. It's about entertaining kind of the sheeple masses. But, you know, it is fascinating because I've been in this stuff for literally like 15 years now, and I've seen this concept grow from nothing into what is a very hot trending kind of social topic and political topic and everything. I don't know that we're going to save everybody. I don't know that we're going to get everybody doing this. I really, really doubt it. But we've created a kernel of people kind of globally who are into this idea, and it ranges everywhere from like sustainability and grass-fed meat and trying to optimize food production on kind of a sustainability side all the way up to medicine and doctoring and all the rest of that. And we have millions of people doing it now. And
yeah.
Once you start getting millions of people doing this, then the ability to affect change is pretty shocking. The Ancestral Health Symposium was very, very successful, and they are starting a healthcare company. And so, you know, over the course of time, we're going to have some options here in which, you know, people in this ancestral health environment are going to be able to get health insurance and be in a group of people who eat and live similarly.
Yes.
And so we're going to be paying equitable amounts of money instead of propping up, you know, sick, dying people who either knowingly or unknowingly are engaging in behaviors that are shortening their life and costing us more money.
I mean, in this very libertarian
free market kind of gig, I think that we could bootstrap this.
Yes.
I think we can save our own bacon, and absolutely nobody from the government's going to do it. When they come to save you, it's at the end of a bayonet or a gun. And they're going to kill you. So.
Yeah, yeah, I agree. We have to take a quick commercial break. When we come back, I want to delve into what the Wizard of Oz, and help me, Rob, if I by accident call him with the DR
okay.
prefix. The Wizard of Oz did, in his attempt to try to attract ancestral diet / paleo diet people and then feed them a nonsense message about the vegan diet. We're talking this hour with Rob Wolf. If you want to learn more about Rob Wolf, you have to go to his website, robbwolf.com. There you'll find his books and also probably the single best podcast on the paleo nutrition. So check it out. Go to robwolf.com. We'll be right back with more Superhuman Radio.
Bread jam. When the light above my head went bam, I can't sleep. Something's all over me, greasy. Insomnia, please.
Testosterone is the king of anabolic hormones, and Test Charge is unlike any testosterone amplifier you have ever tried, because only Test Charge has taxadrol, a substance that grows in only one place in the world and is only found in Test Charge. Test Charge will jack your testosterone levels like illegal agents, but rest assured, there are no banned substances in Test Charge. Test Charge is the secret weapon used by IFBB legend Flex Wheeler. And now you can join the pro ranks. Go to AAEFX.com to learn more about where you can find Test Charge today. From the most advanced supplement company on the planet, Primordial Performance, comes the new Andro series. Andro Lean is a thermogenic aid that will promote lipolysis and incinerate body fat. Andro Mass creates explosive gains and is highly anabolic. Andro Hard will turn your muscles into granite hard stone while increasing sex drive and maximizing strength. The Andro series represents the most advanced delivery systems available anywhere. These are non-methylated and completely liver safe and non-toxic. Buy one or stack all of the new Andro series products today at primordialperformance.com.
If you're like me, you avoid the insulin spike from eating pasta, but not anymore. Miracle Noodle is the world's first no-calorie, no-carbohydrate noodle. You heard me right. Now you can enjoy pasta dishes and stay on your low-carb diet. They have fettuccine, linguine, rigatoni, and more. Even angel hair pasta is now a no-calorie, no-carb food. And Miracle Noodle tastes great. So go to superhumanradio.com today and click the Miracle Noodle banner ad to learn more about how you can start enjoying pasta again, even when you're dieting. Find your Miracle Noodle at superhumanradio.com today.
Protein is the building block of muscle. Protein-rich diets have been shown to not only be heart healthy, but also burn body fat through the thermogenic effect of protein in the digestive process. But getting enough protein each day isn't easy. That's why I use True Protein from TrueProtein.com. TrueProtein.com has an incredible variety of flavors. My favorite is chocolate coconut. And you can even create your own custom blend. Mix whey, casein, and egg, or throw in a little beef isolate. And you can save 5% off the already low, low price when you use the coupon code SHRADIO. Visit TrueProtein.com today and let them know Carl sent you.
AnabolicMinds.com is the premier website for credible information on building muscle, burning fat, supplementation, and more. With over 100,000 active registered members and over 2.5 million posts. It's one of the largest communities on the internet to get help and answers to your questions. It's also the place that the official Superhuman Radio Forum is hosted. Visit AnabolicMinds.com today and get into the action. AnabolicMinds.com. Learn, teach, lead. No other peptide supplier has a more complete offering than Southern Research Companies. And no other peptide supplier can boast that all their research peptides are manufactured inside the United States in Tier 1 labs. Whether you're looking for IGF-1 Long R3, GHRP6, GHRP2, Melanotan-2, Mechanogrowth Factor, or PT-141, or hard-to-find peptides like Triptorelin or Follistatin, you'll find them at Southern Research Companies. Free shipping on orders over $150. Go to superhumanradio.com and click the Southern Research banner ad today and do business with the most trusted name in research peptides, Southern Research Company.
Your radio just got ripped. It's Superhuman Radio.
Welcome back to Superhuman Radio. What's that? Yeah, I think our paleo ancestors use peptides, don't you think, Rob?
I think they could probably give a swing for that, for sure.
Anyway, all right, welcome back to Superhuman Radio. We're talking with Rob Wolf. Okay, so The Wizard of Oz does this show where he sequesters these three women. First he takes these three women, and like most of the women in his audience, and I'm sorry, that's who's attracted to his message. You know, most of them are very unhealthy and obese, and they want his consideration and his kindness, and for him to feel sorry for them. And you know, he takes them. They do some initial panels on them. They've got cholesterol issues. You know, dyslipidemia. They're overweight. Blood pressure is high. Fasting sugar levels are high. And so he puts them in a zoo, locks them in a cage like animals, and gives them a bag of basically nuts, fruit, vegetables, and for their sodium intake, one brine-soaked olive, which I thought that was bizarre because there's sodium in tomatoes. I mean, what did you have to give them an olive for? You know, I mean, it's like... And these women stayed there for, I think, 48 hours. And after leaving, their metabolic conditions were checked again, and woe and behold, they actually their cholesterol numbers came down a little bit, their body weight came down a little bit, their fasting blood sugar level came down a little bit, their blood pressure came down a little bit, and it was like, oh my God, this is amazing, right? And this is this is basically a vegan diet.
Right.
This is not the paleo diet. This is not the prehistoric diet. So my question to you, first of all, I remember reading an article that Leslie Aiello had published back in 2001, and the name escapes me, but it was something to do about when humans became meat eaters. You know what I'm talking about?
There's a couple of things along that line, but, you know, it's the extensive tissue hypothesis where we started eating a lot more meat and our brains got bigger and the guts got smaller.
Yes.
We started eating less vegetable matter. And I think woven into that is also extensive use of cooking. If you prepare food, whether it's carbohydrate food or, you know, protein, animal food, then it's much easier to digest. But again, it's freeing up tissue expenditures, energy expenditures that can go into a bigger, more information processing brain because you don't need to spend so much time digesting food.
And that happened around 2.5 million years ago?
It is between there and 3 million years.
Yes,
yeah.
Okay.
Yeah,
so
they keep pushing the date on that back.
So
yeah.
that's considered prehistoric, right?
Pretty damn prehistoric.
Okay.
Yeah.
So my point is that Wizard of Oz, his whole agenda in life today is to push this Forks Over Knives movie and the vegan diet. He is so tied to the vegan diet. So then he brings this girl in, who, by the way, she doesn't look good at all. I'm sorry. And she says, look, you can't live on that diet. You just can't live on it. So you have to modify it. So I'm thinking, okay, great. She's going to come up with like a lacto-ovo approach or something like that. No, she introduces grains into the picture. She says, you got to eat more bread, more pasta. She throws quinoa in there and some beans, but her thing is grains and legumes. So we're still talking about a vegan diet. So from you to the Wizard of Oz, did prehistoric humans 2.5 million years ago, were they exclusively vegans?
Any of them that didn't survive, and we don't carry any of their genetics today.
Thank God. So they didn't survive. Okay. All right. So why is it, do you think, that the Wizard of Oz is so hell-bent on promoting an exclusively vegan diet?
You know, there's just all kinds of wacky stuff tied into this. The politics in veganism is right in with this whole wacky liberal agenda of like the government needs to take care of us, everybody else has the right answer, you know, woe is me, and it feeds into a lot of the way that Dr. Oz deals with the, you know, the people that are attracted to a show. The world is terrible, my life is terrible, I can't do anything to save myself. And then what we do, or what Oz does and what the government does, is they feed you a false hope, which just keeps you hanging on enough that you think something's going to change, but it doesn't. And it really doesn't liberate you. It really doesn't make you healthy. It really doesn't set things right. And so you're tied to the next failed, you know, kind of experiment there. And this is all the way from the food to the education, the whole thing. And it sounds super over the top conspiracy, but I mean, if you can very simply, you know, and this is actually a something that's going to happen soon. Like we're finalizing the research parameters at a tier one research institution, and we're going to run metabolic ward trials, paleo diet, vegan diet, standard American diet, Mediterranean diet, crossover study. It's going to be gold standard stuff, and we're going to you know, the BS is either going to start or stop there. This thing's going to be a top tier kind of research undertaking, and we're going to see how all this stuff plays out. Now, for these women, they were obviously eating very, very poorly.
Yes.
And so sticking them on fruits, vegetables, and nuts is a lifesaver.
Yes.
But for that interim, it's a lifesaver. And I think that, you know, we can acknowledge that. But then if you threw some good quality protein in there and, you know, some fish oil and some stuff like that, then all of a sudden you've got something that is both sustainable, and it's going to keep their metabolic functioning. It's going to keep their muscle mass, their bone mineral density. Whereas that basic vegan approach is not going to do that. Professor Lauren Cordain has a new book coming out, and he devotes a whole chapter, I think possibly the strongest chapter in the whole book, is his analysis of vegetarian and vegan diets. He looks at the health in different primarily vegetarian countries and the nutrient deficiencies and all this sort of stuff, and just kind of the lie that's associated with their health, the fact that they do have high rates of cardiovascular disease and whatnot.
Yes.
The supposed health benefits of like Seventh-day Adventists are completely obliterated when you can look at how they, if you look at a group of Seventh-day Adventists that live in, say, like Italy or France, where people generally eat better than what Americans do. You know, this is an artifact of the how generally poorly our citizens are, you know, typically eat. So,
well, and we talked about that during the first hour of the show. Pam Colleen, who wrote the book Addiction, The Hidden Epidemic, which is actually about food and not drugs, talked about the 9 years she spent as a vegan and how sick she got. And she was actually teaching veganism at that time. And then she did some real homework on nutrition and abandoned the vegan lifestyle and approached it from healthy animal proteins with higher omega-3, like, you know, grass-fed beef and so on and so forth, changed her life. And we actually talked about that. She said, you know, when you first switch over to the vegan diet, you've been eating crap for years. You've got all this metabolic waste buildup. You switch over to the vegan diet, the first thing you notice is like, wow, I have a little bit more energy and I'm clear-headed. Well, sure you are, because you're not, it's not because you're eating the vegan diet, it's because you're not eating the diet you were eating before. I mean, you could probably switch to cardboard for 2 weeks and feel better.
Yeah, just fasting people, typically, they're going to do better than what they were doing previously. Yeah.
So you know, I want to go back to something you said before, that the humans, our ancestors, in the 3 to 2.5 million year ago range, who did not migrate over to becoming meat eaters, they died off.
Yeah, I mean, you had these two branches, Australopithecus robustus, Australopithecus gracilis, which the gracilis form was actually smaller, but it went down this route of eating, scavenging more meat and developed tool use and whatnot. And the robustus form actually had very huge jaws, bigger digestive tract and whatnot, and one of them went down the path of vegetarianism, one of them went down the path of kind of scavenging, opening up bones with stone tools and stuff like that. And the gracilis form is our distant ancestor, and the robustus form died out.
So if anything, the vegans just need to look at that. And you know what? I say this jokingly, Rob, and I have a funny feeling you're going to agree with me. I say all the time on the show, like, you know, well, maybe everybody's not supposed to live. You know what I mean? Maybe this is just yet further evolutionary selection pressure, downward pressure, a thinning of the herd. Some of those people aren't supposed to make it through. And just unfortunately, if they would die off before they procreate, we'd really be getting some value out of all this. But maybe not everybody's supposed to make it. That's why not everybody's getting the message.
I don't really joke that much about it. I actually agree. And I mean, it sounds horrible, but it's even on just kind of like the political take care of your own, you know, housekeeping type of level. Some people are waiting for a handout. Some people take action and grab life by the short hairs and go get what they want and what they need. There's kind of a reality here. The thing that I always like to couch all this stuff is like, do vegan for 6 months. Do it for a month. Look how you look, feel, and perform. Track biomarkers of health and disease. And then try a paleo shtick for a month to 6 months and do the same thing. Try, quote, Mediterranean diet. Play with it. Don't believe me. Don't believe anybody. Like, let this be an N=1 experiment, and then just let the results speak for themselves. Then there's no smoke or mirrors. There's no gurus. Nobody's got any secret information or anything like that. It's all your own personal experience. But, some people will do that, and then you've got another group of folks that refuse to experiment with it. I'm not sure what to do to save those folks. Like, if you can't even experiment a little bit in your own life, if you're sick, like if I had cardiovascular disease or something like that, I'd be pretty motivated. I don't know. Maybe it's because I'm not real religious. I think you live, you die, you're done. And so maybe I'm a little more motivated to claw and hang on to as much life as I can. But I'm pretty motivated to fix the problems that are presented to me. And a lot of people are just not.
Well, it's not just that. In the defense of the sheeple, they're getting bad information from credible sources. Part of the problem is, okay, that's the first thing. But you have to look past the credible sources, and you have to ask, what do they have in at stake here to promote this? You know, the government, the American government, subsidizes grain, corn, and soy. So they have a vested interest in making sure that we consume it so that they can get their investment out. So the first step in order to allow the message to change, is to first get the government to understand that they're making an investment in something that is killing off the lifeblood of the country. This country's greatest asset is its people. We're resilient. We bounce back. We put our heads down and we do the work and we get things done. But by 2030, 50% of us are going to be very ill and obese. And then this country is going to crash and burn. So this government really has a vested interest into listening to this message and going, you know what? We need to stop subsidizing corn and grain. And then we don't have to promote it. And if we're not promoting it, we don't have to worry about the companies that we're going to piss off by telling people maybe corn and grain wasn't so good after all. What do you think of that?
You know, I totally agree. And this is one of these wacky things, like, you know, Fox News, John Stossel, like otherwise you would consider these people to be fairly conservative entities. But Stossel actually had this piece, kind of anti-grass-fed meat deal. And he had this woman from Washington State University who's just in the back pocket of the dairy and basically the whole corn-fed meat kind of scene. And it was fascinating to me because this otherwise libertarian kind of conservative scene, and they didn't understand the fact that this whole process could not economically exist without government subsidies. There was a great movie, King Corn, where they kind of break down the profitability of growing corn. And without the government subsidies, the whole thing would grind to a halt.
Yes.
And, Nikki and I were traveling in Nicaragua, and we were talking to a guy that lived down there. Like, the meat down there is amazing because it's all grass-fed.
Right.
And we were talking to the guy about the meat quality, and he's like, oh, I remember that. Like, when I lived in the States, he lived here for, like, 6 years. He said, you know, you guys corn feed your meat. And then he paused, and he's like, that would bankrupt our economy. And I was kind of like, yeah, no shit. It's bankrupting ours.
It's doing it to us. Yeah. Yeah, exactly.
Yeah. So, and this is one of those wacky things where even the kind of conservative market-based individuals, they view this grass-fed meat scene as some sort of hippie, save the earth alternative deal, and it's really not. It's just smart economics. And the alternative, the corn-fed government-subsidized scene, is completely it cannot exist without a false economic market. And that's a market that then, you know, unfairly places advantage on this unsustainable kind of scene.
Yeah,
if you're really this kind of market-based, libertarian, conservative thought kind of person, you can't really get in bed with this corn-fed meat production and not be a complete shill. You're a complete sellout if you buy into that scene.
Yeah, I agree. And you know what? We have to take a quick commercial break. When we come back, I want to pick it up with this. I want to talk about something that Leslie Aiello said to me one time about the issues related to really eating paleo in this day and age. We're talking with Rob Wolf. You can go to his website, robwolf.com. It's a great website. You can see his book there, The Paleo Solution. You can also listen to his podcast. We'll be right back with more Superhuman Radio. I know you like me. I know you do. CoQ10 is known to ramp up mitochondrial function. PQQ is documented to increase mitochondrial biogenesis and size. Now get two of the most advanced anti-aging supplements in a single capsule. Brought to you by Dr. Peter Rouse, CoQ10 and PQQ combined will give your body the mitochondrial energy and production that you need. And to make this offer even better, Superhuman Radio listeners get 20% off when you call 310-895-5388. And mention that you heard it on Superhuman Radio.
No two amino acids have been studied more than creatine and beta-alanine. And no two amino acids have been shown to independently improve athletic performance better than creatine and beta-alanine. When you join these two ergogenic powerhouses together, you get unparalleled results. And when you bypass the stomach and deliver them right to the bloodstream, you get the best single legal performance-enhancing product bar none. Save 50% off your initial order by using the coupon code CB50. C50. That's CB50. Go to ageforce.com today.
Melatonin is the best sleep aid in the world, but it has one flaw, the delivery method. Melatonin tablets are not efficient and can wear off too soon, leaving you wide awake in the middle of the night. Time-release tablets make you feel groggy in the morning. Now there's the Age Force Sustained Delivery Melatonin Patch. This transdermal patch delivers a precise amount of melatonin from the moment you apply it and continues to do so for an entire 6 hours. This ensures a full night's sleep while waking refreshed and ready to go. Visit ageforce.com and use the coupon code SHRMEL and save 50% off your first order. Go to AGEFORCE.com and use SHRMEL today and sleep better tomorrow. 6-Oxo is back thanks to Iron Mag Lab, the gold standard for testosterone boosting and estrogen reduction that all other over-the-counter aromatase inhibitors are compared to, is 6-oxoprogesterone. 6-Oxo is the active ingredient in the new E-Control RX from Iron Mag Labs. Iron Mag Labs has resurrected the beast that has been clinically shown to raise free testosterone by as much as 226%. As men age, estrogen rises and testosterone drops. E-Control RX can help reverse this from happening. E-Control RX is suitable for post-cycle therapy to jumpstart natural testosterone production. Get E-Control RX today. Go to IronMagLabs.com today.
If you want to be superhuman, you can't eat junk. Finally, there's a protein bar that isn't just candy in disguise. Quest protein bars have 20 grams of protein, 4 to 5 grams of non-fiber carbs, and the only bars on the market with no sugar or sugar alcohols. I've never promoted a protein bar before, but these are delicious and unlike any other protein bars you've ever tried before. They're so good that Quest Nutrition is giving away 2 free bars to all my listeners, even free shipping. Go to superhumanradio.com right now and click the Quest Protein Bar banner ad to try them today.
I have never endorsed a training guide before The Blueprint by Rob Regish. The Blueprint combines the best techniques for building muscle and gaining strength with the best tips on supplementation and nutrition. Everyone who has used The Blueprint has surpassed their expectations in muscular gains in record time. You'll learn how to break through any plateau, how to make gains from every single workout, and all for the price of a single supplement purchase. Get your copy of The Blueprint today by going to superhumanradio.com and clicking the Blueprint banner ad. Order today and get copies of both The Blueprint 2.0 and 3.0, plus ongoing support on the Blueprint forum to ensure your success.
Listen strong. It's Superhuman Radio.
Welcome back to Superhuman Radio. We're talking with Rob Wolf. Rob, did you happen to see that NPR article by Barbara King? Apparently she's an anthropologist.
Yeah. Yeah, that was another one. This whole paleo thing's been getting a lot of press lately.
Yeah, they said the paleo diet, not the way to a healthy future, she says. And she says, you know, you would think that I would agree with this as a anthropologist, but she does not agree. She says there's no science behind it. You know what startles me? And I talk about this all the time on the show. Everybody looks to epidemiological studies for the answers to these questions. But nobody looks back and says, wait a minute, it's just 300-400 years ago, we didn't have any of these chronic diseases, and people ate all the fat and animal protein and everything that they we tell them they can't eat any longer. And they lived into their 6th, 7th, 8th, 9th decade of life without Lipitor, without Simvastatin, without any of these drugs. Do I need an epidemiological study to tell me that that happened? We're standing here today because that happened.
So it's kind of maddening. I mean, this gal that wrote the piece, she's a vegetarian.
Yeah, bingo.
It's so fascinating. You had a couple of people pop up in the comments that were like, yeah, I've got an anthropology background too. And they said, you know, humans didn't eat much meat and all the rest of this stuff. And it's kind of like, okay, where are all the stable isotope studies that are coming out of like the Max Planck Institute of Evolutionary Genetics and stuff like that? You know, we're as carnivorous at various points in our evolution as like the Arctic fox. I think humans are very adaptable. They can survive on a broad range of foods if we avoid gut irritants from, you know, grains and legumes, and that's probably a big step up. But, you know, it's so fascinating to me, the lack of information on this stuff. We have a really interesting challenge to deal with. On the one side of things, you have people like this woman for the NPR piece that, mainly vegetarian, very liberal kind of scene, who, they think that, you know, we are basically plant eaters. On the other side of the coin, we have this situation in which huge swaths of our population don't really believe in evolution. We're one of the only westernized kind of modern countries that has a demographic like that. So we've got a hell of a time actually talking about health and nutrition from an effective standpoint. If we talk about GPS satellites, we can talk about chemistry and physics and engineering and quantum mechanics and the fact that, you know, GPS satellites need to adjust for the gravity well of the Earth because of quantum relativistic effects. So we can actually talk science. If we talk nutrition or human health, at some point the thing has to kind of circle back around to evolution via natural selection if you really want to get down to the brass tacks of what's going on. And we have a hell of a time talking about that, whether, you know, it ends up kind of pissing off the religious side or on the kind of wacky liberal left-leaning side. You know, people don't want to face the fact that, you know, we live by killing each other and other things, and there's some really unsavory elements to our history that we don't need to do a historical reenactment on. But we can draw information from that to make informed choices about the way we live today.
But this comes full circle to what we said before we went into the break. Maybe these people, like Barbara King, for instance, which, you know, if there are very few vegans that can stay vegan their entire life because they eventually get sick.
Right.
Or they die. And so maybe when she hits the wall and realizes it's her vegan lifestyle that's making her hit the wall and that praying isn't answering any questions for her, then she'll come around and say, you know, maybe I was wrong. I mean, my concern is this. I really feel that there's an agenda afoot here. And I'm not a conspiracy theorist. So it's not like I'm thinking, well, this is a eugenics approach. They're thinning the herd. This is what this is about. I'm going to be one of the smart ones. I'm going to live. I'm not listening to the mainstream message, but those people can do it and they're going to die and that's it. But when you look at this, and I understand we talked about it before, that follow the money, but when you look at this, you have to understand that the government knows that all the chronic disease today is from this. I coined the term, by the way, Rob. I'd love for you to use it once in a while, that what's actually taking place here in the United States is human husbandry. You know, we're being fed artificial diets where they're fooling with our genetics. They're testing things on us that we don't even know about, you know, between the RF cesspool that we live in and everything. This is really an experiment in human husbandry here. And you know, the government knows what's going on. They're not doing anything about it. And don't they realize if they kill a lot of us off, there's not going to be any money to pay the government taxes anymore?
We're only just now, like we are just now seeing a selection pressure such that you see kids developing type 2 diabetes so early that they may not live to reproductive age, that you see such metabolic and hormonal derangements that kids are not going through normal puberty and may never become fertile. So it's just now gotten to a severe enough state that you could really see some curtailment in the population, and probably, you know, even the people that you see with that, they're probably long down the spectrum of probably out of genetic lineage of a very short period of exposure to agriculture, you know, for example,
right.
And so you're just seeing it the most recent iteration of this kind of selection pressure. So I mean it. For me, I don't know that the government really knows that they're doing anything. Like, I guess I'm so far down that kind of libertarian pathway that I don't think there's anybody's got any puppet master strings or anything. I don't think anybody knows a damn thing of what's going on, but, you know, they're just kind of stumbling around. There is this attempt at a top-down control of what's happening. And like always in those scenarios, if you don't allow the market to kind of drive stuff, then you've got a big problem brewing. Where this stuff starts going awry is that you do have this interface between government and business where you can have protectionist stuff going on. It's really not open and free and transparent. Right. Very, very similar thing happening in science. I forget what the Cochrane report, but they basically looked at, you know, all the epidemiological studies, all the studies that are pumped out, and it was their opinion that probably 75% to 80% of everything that's published, the science is garbage.
Yeah.
You know, it's largely cooked. So it's
and this is and this and that and comes full circle to why I say that we need to start practicing health history. I have good genetics. I have grandparents that lived into their ninth decade of life. My parents would have lived longer. My dad would have lived longer, but he was a victim of polypharmacy. My mom, unfortunately, had a stroke because she became diabetic. So she was susceptible to the nutritional protocols that make people sick, but she's still 88 and she's still kicking. So I have genetics on my side. I'm going to apply that, and I'm going to stay away from the foods that I know that are killing people. And it takes a lot of courage to do that, because you have friends that are saying, well, you know, I mean, I was at a party not too long ago, and I almost got into a heated discussion with the hospital administrator, who told me that I shouldn't be eating coconut oil in the copious amounts I eat. And I said, why? He says, because it's saturated fat. I says, what's wrong with saturated fat? He says, it's bad for you. Said, no, it's not. It's not bad for you. And then Elisa kicked me under the table, and, you know, we were at a wedding. She's like, don't get into this discussion here at the table now.
Right.
I mean, it's just baffling to me. Let me ask you a question. What are your thoughts on the notion that we really can't even eat paleo any longer, because the access to the type of food that is critical in order for the benefits of our food, it's not even around any longer. The apples have been made sweeter and sweeter. You know, the apples of yesteryear were not as sweet. They were bitter. The meat, we know, if it's not grass-fed, it's poisoning you. You know, the fish, they're raising fish in cesspools now. What about the notion that it's too late? We've turned the corner.
This thing pops up more and more, and it is the most, like, weird, hand-wringing, like, it just has this stench of, like, kind of wacky liberalism about it, where it's like, oh, we're screwed, just give up. Yeah. You know, and it's like, so what's better, a bagel or conventionally raised meat? Is conventional raised meat, a Granny Smith apple, a big Luther Burbank carrots, are those better or a bagel?
Yeah, no, absolutely.
And so this hand-wringing concern about, like, well, it's not exactly like what it was before. It's like, who cares? And this is, again, you know, where we, you know, it's so tough, because on the one hand, you need to give all this stuff some sort of a name, whether it's vegan or whether it's paleo or whatever, because people need something to identify with and all the rest of that. But then as soon as you throw this kind of evolutionary biology concept out there, then you get all these kind of preposterous counterpoints, which this happens to be one of them. But you can still boil this thing down to, let's construct a 2,000 calorie diet, and let's use either the ADA recommended foods, whole grains, legumes, low fat dairy, et cetera. Or we can use meat, fruit, veggies, fish, and let's see how many vitamins, minerals, and antioxidants we get out of the paleo diet built out of contemporary foods versus American Dietetics Associated diet versus a vegan diet, et cetera, and let's make it all isocaloric. Look at how much protein, carbohydrate, and fat, how much vitamins, minerals, and antioxidants you get, and you can't build a more nutrient-dense diet without nutrient deficiencies than what you can with the paleo approach.
Who was the
that's kind of my main riposte, I guess, to that question is you show me how we can make a more nutrient rich diet.
Right. Who first coined the term paleo? Was it Lauren?
Well, you know, I mean, this is, you know, we're talking paleo archaeology, you know, we're just talking about human history. So, I mean, it's you know, Lauren and Boyd Eaton, you know, Boyd Eaton, I guess, really would maybe be the first one that applied it to a mass pop culture kind of nutrition approach, which was the Paleolithic prescription,
right,
which was released. Gosh, Boyd's paper came out in the New England Journal of Medicine in 1986. I think the book came out in 87 or 88. So I think that he would probably be the first one. But if you dig around in the anthropological literature, again, even though our you know, anthropologists from NPR don't seem to find this stuff, you know, they've been talking about paleo diet since 1950s.
Really?
You know, I mean, talking about hunter-gatherer diets. Yeah, you can dig this stuff up. And Vilhelmir Stefansson, who lived among the, the Inuit stuff,
yeah,
like that. You know?
He was the one who did all the research on eating too much lean was no good. You had to add fat in or you got sick. Matter of fact, he did that at one of the institutions in New York after he came back from living with the Inuit. I want to say Creedmoor or Bellevue. He went to Bellevue Hospital, I think, and he did that where, and they had him on too much lean and he got sick. So fat was really, really critical. Where do you stand on raw milk? Did I ask you that last time you were on the show? Raw unpasteurized milk?
Did I lose you? Uh-oh. All right, let's do this. Let's take a quick commercial break. Rob is on a cell phone. We'll pick him up. We'll come back. We'll finish the show. Stay tuned.
That's the sound of 37 dumbbells. That's a lot of weight and a lot of wasted space when you can get the same thing done with just one set of power blocks. The new, quieter, urethane series power blocks with FlexPin technology are the heaviest and easiest to use quick change dumbbells on the market. Starting at just $149 a pair, power blocks can grow as your strength grows, all the way up to 130 pounds per dumbbell. Imagine a whole rack of dumbbells in the space of just one pair with power blocks. Go to powerblock.com today or call 800-651-1937. Power block, the world's best dumbbell.
Finally, a time-released energy tablet. No more shots or drinks filled with sugar. Atomic Tabs are here. Atomic Tabs are the only time-released, high-energy, chewable tablet available anywhere. Atomic Tabs have as much caffeine as a cup of coffee, combined with energy and focus-enhancing ingredients that will give you a long-lasting wave of energy with no jitters or crash. Energy comes on in 5 minutes after you chew it. Go to AtomicTabs.com, be one of the first 10,000 people to sign the mailing list, and get a free sample of Atomic Tabs. Go to AtomicTabs.com today. Chew your energy.
Never before has an anti-estrogen been so powerful. The triazole formula is built on a potent, all-natural aromatase inhibitor called Pizole, which has been shown in clinical trial to be as effective as a leading prescription aromatase inhibitor. Pizole works in concert with the rest of the triazole formula to control estrogen while simultaneously boosting testosterone significantly. In fact, one of triazole's testers had a 120% increase in total testosterone and a 257% increase in free testosterone. Triazole is available at bodybuilding.com, NutriPlanet.com, or where finer supplements are sold. For more information, check out GetDS.com.
CoQ10 is known to ramp up mitochondrial function. PQQ is documented to increase mitochondrial biogenesis and size. Now get two of the most advanced anti-aging supplements in a single capsule. Brought to you by Dr. Peter Rouse, CoQ10 and PQQ combined will give your body the mitochondrial energy and production that you need. And to make this offer even better, Superhuman Radio listeners get 20% off when you call 310-895-5385 and mention that you heard it on Superhuman Radio. AnabolicMinds.com is the premier website for credible information on building muscle, burning fat, supplementation, and more. With over 100,000 active registered members and over 2.5 million posts, it's one of the largest communities on the internet to get help and answers to your questions. It's also the place that the official Superhuman Radio forum is hosted. Visit AnabolicMinds.com today and get into the action. AnabolicMinds.com. Learn, teach, lead. If you want to be superhuman, you can't eat junk. Finally, there's a protein bar that isn't just candy in disguise. Quest protein bars have 20 grams of protein, 4 to 5 grams of non-fiber carbs, and the only bars on the market with no sugar or sugar alcohols. I've never promoted a protein bar before, but these are delicious and unlike any other protein bars you've ever tried before. They're so good that Quest Nutrition is giving away 2 free bars to all my listeners, even free shipping. Go to superhumanradio.com right now and click the Quest Protein Bar banner ad to try them today.
Get stronger. Feel younger. It's Superhuman Radio.
Just want to remind everybody that Age Force is having a buy one, get one free. You'll see the banner ads up on Superhuman Radio. It's for Thanksgiving. Buy any of the Age Force products, mix and match, buy one, get one free. Tomorrow's Tuesday. We've got Richard Simmons on the show tomorrow. Very, very cool. We've got Rob Wolf back on with us. We're going to wrap up the interview with him. I got a question or two for him, and then we'll plug his book again and his website. Rob, I know Lauren has told me, Dr. Cordain has told me that he's opposed to milk. However, he's not completely opposed to raw unpasteurized milk. Where do you stand on raw unpasteurized milk, Rob?
You know, for me, my understanding of this stuff currently, my main deal is grass-fed because of some sustainability issues, CLA, omega-3s, all that sort of stuff. And then from there, I would like to see it fermented. A number of the growth factors, like the epithelial growth factors, some of the stuff that may have some potential, like carcinogenic effects, seem to be greatly mitigated with fermentation. So, like, if I were to see a grass-fed yogurt, then that's in a gray area for me. And from there, then I really don't recommend any type of dairy products for people with autoimmune disease. But other than that, it's kind of like get in, experiment, see how you do. But that's kind of like my order of operation. So even on the raw side, like raw doesn't always mean grass-fed.
No,
and I would
you're
put
right.
grass-fed over the raw.
Yes,
so,
I agree with you. Grass-fed, I always, whenever I talk about raw and pasteurized milk, I'm always assuming that it's a grass-fed source, hormone-free, antibiotic-free cows. But no, I can agree with that. I can agree with that completely. All right, so
yeah.
Did you hear that Richard Simmons is on tomorrow?
That's wacky. How did you pull that off?
Oh, his publicist and my publicist are the same guy. I hired a
nice.
Publicist. And, yeah, and I'm really excited to have him on because you know why I want to have him on? I'll tell you something. Richard got started a long time ago and was one of the forerunners. Him and remember, and I actually thought about having her on too, Susan Powder. Remember Susan
yeah,
Powder?
Yeah, totally. Yeah.
Stop the Insanity. They were yeah. they were the forerunners of these infomercials, and then Richard had his show. And I'm just curious. I would like him retrospectively to look back where he got started. Look at things today. I want his appraisal of what's gone wrong. The country keeps getting fatter and fatter. I want to see what his opinion is. That's all. And you know, it should be an interesting show. He's a really great guy.
Totally.
A really great guy.
Yeah. You know, I bumped into Susan Powder. If I'm not mistaken, she's living in the Seattle area. At least she used to. She ended up doing some stuff up there and kind of trying to start a little seminar dealio and stuff like that. I think it'd gone like full kind of vegan, yoga, all that sort of stuff. So she would be an interesting one to talk to. See where she went on that whole spectrum.
Yeah, I may try to get her on because like Richard Simmons, I like to see where she started, where she ended up, why she, you know, took the path that she took. So that's a good point. And on the whole vegan thing, we did the whole first half of the show on the problems with veganism. But I got to tell you something. Lacto-ovo-vegans, that might be something worthwhile. Now obviously, if you ancestrally, if you can do the whole milk thing and you're using raw, unpasteurized, grass-fed, hormone-free, you know, milk, and even in your case, like you said, fermented, because the Hunza, you're familiar with the Hunza, right?
Yeah, yeah.
I mean, the Hunza are lacto-vegans, correct?
Yeah, I guess you'd call them lacto-vegetarian, yeah.
Yeah, okay. And they regularly, well, at least they did. Randy Roach recently told me that they're not living as long anymore because now they're starting to be infiltrated by Western diet styles. But back in the day, they regularly lived to be 100 years old and older. So do you think that's purely ancestral? They have polymorphisms that they just adhered to their ancestral diet for decades and decades? Or do you think that everyone could benefit from that type of an approach?
You know, I don't know that everybody could, but I do think that there's way, you know, obviously I'm kind of like the paleo guy, but I think that there's way more latitude within all this than what we've seen previously. You know, like I think most of the nastiness that comes out of agriculture is actually wheat and gluten derived stuff. Like
yes.
If we had a more rice-based scene, it probably would not be nearly as nasty. If we had a completely root and tuber based agricultural thing that I think that, you know, health consequences could almost be inconsequential. This whole carb, you know, high carb, low carb sort of thing, I'm getting a sneaky suspicion that our carb intolerance is more epigenetic and epigenetic from the standpoint that we've got, you know, linoleic acid, that we don't have enough vitamin D, we don't get enough exercise, we don't get enough sun. All those things make us insulin resistant, and then possibly this has been happening with our parents for multiple generations, so we're seeing a generational shift from epigenetic input. So even and this is happening in utero, our genetics are not changing, how the genes get methylated, turned on and off are changing. So when we look at things like the Catawbans, they can eat a real high-carb diet, and they're fine. We maybe not so much. The root fixative is always a low carb diet, but it doesn't necessarily mean that a high carb diet was the cause, or maybe all these other things, and you know, like grains causing gut irritation, fructose, you know, high fructose stuff, blah, blah, blah. You know, there's all these multivariate issues that kind of input on this stuff. So even though, you know, I'm kind of like the paleo dude, I kind of, you know, go back to this paleo orientation. Obviously, we've got examples of tons of different cultures that live very, very healthfully. Some of them include these more Neolithic type foods. Some of them don't.
Uh-oh. I think we lost Rob for good that time. Rob, are you there? Okay.
Who?
Oh, yeah, I got you. Okay. All right. You're there. Yeah. So I think you answered the question. Let's go ahead and plug your website again. The website is Rob Wolf, RobWolf.com. He's got a great podcast, also a great book, The Paleo Solution. Check it out. Rob, thanks for being on Superhuman Radio today, man.
I'll love to come back anytime.
We'll have you back for sure. Take care.
Awesome, Carl. Take care.
All right. So there you have it. Another great show. Hopefully you'll pass this show around. There's lots of good information in this show for lots of different people, and especially those of you who are endeavoring to raise children on extreme diets. It's not a good idea, no matter what. It's just not. Of course, I want to thank Dr. Jared Skowron. His book is 100 Natural Remedies for Your Child. You can go to Amazon.com. To get that. Pam Killeen, her website is pamkilleen.com. Addiction, the Hidden Epidemic. It's all about food. It's not about drugs. And of course, Rob Wolf. And, he's the paleo guy, like he said. And hopefully he'll start using that term, human husbandry, coined here first. Tune in tomorrow when we have Richard Simmons on. We'll see you tomorrow. Hey, did you know you could listen to Superhuman Radio while mobile? Go to the BlackBerry store and download the Radio Bee app. Go to shoutcast.com and search for the Superhuman channel and get started today.